to a fresh edition of WizWit Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It is Monday, May 11th. We're here at the Red Sound Studios. Ben has abandoned us, so don't worry. Zach has stepped in to guide us. He can put up with our nonsense for the next hour. As always, I'm your host, Justin Emery, joined here by my co-host, Michael Irano.
Yeah, it feels good to be back after an exciting 4 or 5 days of sports, whether you're talking football, baseball, even the NBA playoffs is heating up. But there's some big news that happened today, and I just want to get somebody who's in the know's reaction to Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nobody better to ask about this than the one Rob Gronkowski. We have a little clip that we're going to play right now that is going to pretty much give his opinion. You mind playing that for us?
Talking about his biceps flexing.
This is some generic.
You can cut it.
Yeah, so I pretty much have to say that I have to agree with him.
I really do. And really, 4-game suspension, you know, we're going to start the show off with this because I think this is an outrage, to be honest.
Definitely. And before we really get rolling, give us your thoughts. Call in 347-857-4467 to tell Mike how much you really are pissed off about this, just like he's about to tell you.
Yeah, you know, no matter what your opinion is, you can tell me why you think this is a big deal. That's really what I'd like to know. If anybody could tell me why, even if it's true, I mean, I don't understand how the Flames and football is one PSI. I don't understand how that translates to 4 games. I mean, yeah, you can find the guy, maybe a game, you know. I mean, you're really not going to let him be there to get his 4th Super Bowl ring? Is that what this is going to come to? Because, I mean, that's crazy, man. This is a guy who's up there with Joe Montana.
I mean,
Roger
Goodell didn't want his relationship with Robert Kraft to be called into question. That's why he had to drop the hammer extra hard.
See, I think they dropped the hammer, so everybody thinks that, you know, they tried. And now when the litigation and the lawyers get in, and if you look at the history, everybody's won against the NFL recently.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Ray Rice got a ton of money. I mean, but I think it's all about public opinion. Like they say in the news stream, you know, the story gets printed on the front page and the retraction's on page 16 and nobody hears about it. Nobody cares.
No. I mean, let me give the details of the full punishment real quick. So Brady suspended the first 4 games of the season. Patriots are fined $1 million. Forfeit their first round pick in 2016 and their 4th round pick in 2017.
I mean, that's outrageous. I can't believe that you would think that $1 million. I mean, I guess $1 million is nothing if you think about it to these owners.
Well, when you have a $10 billion a year corporation,
right.
What is $1 million?
What is even when you're dividing that $10 billion by 32? It's still a ton of money.
Yeah. Now, the only thing is if I'm Sean Payton, I'm throwing a fit right now.
Why? No. He was actively
campaigning
for players to hurt other players.
No, that was his defensive coordinator. And he said that he had no idea what he was doing.
Listen
to what I'm saying.
Don't you remember? There's a little spy game for the Saints there, too.
Well,
they were listening in on people's the offensive coordinator's mic. They were listening in on the other studio.
Listen. Okay, listen to what I got to say. He said when he gave his report to Roger Goodell that he didn't know about the bounties. And Roger Goodell said ignorance is not a justification for what happened. You're the head coach. You need to know everything.
Well, that's what happened for the Patriots, so it's uniform.
Well, I'm saying Bill Belichick was like, I didn't know.
Well, they didn't suspend a player. They picked to suspend Tom Brady.
And they also suspended the Saints GM, though, that year.
Right. But I just don't think I don't know. I don't think you can suspend Brady and Belichick. either pick the quarterback. So they pick the quarterback to suspend. They suspend them for four games. Now look at this division. I mean, if Brady misses the first four games of the year, and they go 0-4, even 1-3, they're uphill in this division. I mean, it's going to take 12 wins again, 13 wins again. I mean, they always get there, but Brady is usually 13-3. If those and their tough games are at the end of the year. So if they lose a few early games, you know, that they should have won, that can really show a big thing. I just think four games is a little much. But I want to change a little speed here. Before we get into the Eagles, I mean, there's been a crazy playoff basketball run going on. You know, everybody thought the Warriors were going to run through the Grizzlies, and it's not been the case. The Grizzlies have won the last two games convincingly. The last two games for the Cavs and the Bulls have been buzzer beaters by Derrick Rose and LeBron James. And, you know, the only team who really looks like destined to fly through this round is the Clippers, who are up 3-1. And they really look like they're on a different level. And they're playing with a different energy than any other team. And they've had the biggest test with already knocking out probably the best team in the playoffs in the Spurs.
Listen, I watched that Clippers game last night. It was like watching a video game. It wasn't even right what they were doing. And the thing is, at halftime, it was only a six-point game. It was 60-54 Clippers at halftime. And with about 3 minutes left in the second quarter, the Rockets actually had the lead.
Yeah, they were there, but just when it gets to the end of the game, the Clippers just have that next gear.
Did you watch any of the game?
I did not see the game.
Go back and watch. I'll pull it up here on the iPad so you can watch it during one of my little monologues that are going to come up. You need to watch the pitifulness, if that's a word,
right,
of this Hacker Jordan strategy. Like, it was happening right at the inbound.
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs did that too. And, I mean,
It wasn't this blatant because DeAndre Jordan set a record for shots in the first half. 28 foul shots in the first half.
And how many did he hit in that 28? Do you know?
No, but I know it wasn't good.
It was probably.
I'll look that up real quick. Hold on.
And
I'll look it up.
If you think about it, if he shoots 50%, now that's deplorable for an NBA player. But think about this. If you fail a guy every time and they hit it one of two, ipso facto, by default, the team is now only shooting 25% by a hole. You're getting 4 points on four trips. You know what I mean? So now if you get to slow down the game and keep your offense arrested, bury and run your sets against them, if you're shooting 50%, you can win. You can win without playing defense, with only playing on one side of the floor. So there is definitely an advantage to doing this if it works. But I mean, I saw DeAndre Jordan with 27 points. You know what I mean? You can't let him score that many points. I just don't think the Rockets can play enough defense to stay with the Clippers.
They're a fake team.
It's that, you know, you see this. I mean, there's good teams and there's great teams. And the Clippers have been as close to that cusp as possible, but they've played some great teams. And they've lost some great teams. They lost some big series. And now I think you see, really, Blake Griffin is open up the floor for everybody. He's really matured. And I've been a guy who's hated Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I said this last Thursday, that Blake has been the best player in the entire playoffs this year.
He's really been dominant. He's been uncoverable. And when a guy like Blake Griffin at the four spot can hit those 15 and 18 footers, it really adds another whole facet to their offense. I mean, it's half the reason they're doing the attack of Jordan, because they cannot deal with the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin pick and roll. Right now, that is the play in basketball right now. If you look there's nothing that competes with the Chris Paul, Blake Griffin pick and roll.
And then you got to add in to there DeAndre Jordan.
Right. Who's
J.J. Redick, the three-point shooter.
Exactly. J.J. Redick, who's played a great postseason, by the way. For a guy who hasn't played many minutes, not on that many good teams, he's really showed up and played hard.
Just so you know, I have the numbers right here.
Yeah, let me hear.
He went 10 for 28.
Oh, my God. Why wouldn't he do it? No, it does. That's why they were up.
In the second half, he went 4 for 6.
Yeah, but if you look, because, I mean, he probably got hot and they didn't want to do it. But the one thing that hurts you with this Hacker thing, especially, I think the Rockets only run about 8 deep. You know, unless you're just going to put guys on the floor to foul, you know, those fouls build up. 28 foul shots, that's 14 fouls. You only get 6 per player. And if you got to play a physical brand of defense like you do in playoffs,
they were running up the fouls so quickly.
That's what I mean, and it works, and it's all good fun, but you can't run it in the second half. I would almost hold it for the second half. Wait. You know, put some guys in there, fail once or twice. I just think the coaches who have done this have not thought ahead with how the fouls are going to work against your team. I don't think – I mean, I saw a few times with the Spurs versus the Clippers, they had to get guys off the floor. You know, they're better defenders. Off the floor because of too many fouls. I mean, when all your guys have 3-4 fouls, you can't play that physical brand of basketball as you want, and the Clippers were getting easy buckets because of it. So this Hack-a-Jordan strategy has really hurt teams down the stretch with not being able to defend this team, which is so explosive. And I'd like to see a team – see, the only thing is I want to see this Warriors-Clippers series. That's going to be an offensive explosion. Don't you think?
I mean, those two teams hate each other, first off.
They're the L.A. teams.
No. Golden State's up in San Francisco. Oakland, I think, to be exact.
Yeah.
I mean, no. Don't give me that. Yeah, they're 6 hours apart, okay? So you can't even say that they're in the same city.
I don't know. Like, I feel like their rivalry is like Pittsburgh-Eagles.
Yeah, but that's like saying that the Steelers – play in the suburbs of Philadelphia.
No. They play in Pennsylvania. It's the same state and it's the same section of their state as well. It's the South region. You know, San Fran's a little north, but it's still relatively close. It's still a big rivalry.
Oh, no, it's a huge rivalry.
But, you know, you haven't seen much of it because Golden State's been bad for so long.
It's actually more of a I think that it's more of a rivalry than the Sacramento Lakers.
Yeah, because Sacramento's been terrible for a decade. That's not even a rivalry. It doesn't even matter.
Oh, but go back 10, 12 years to when Shaq and Kobe were there. That was the best rivalry in the whole league.
That was good. I don't know. At that time, you know what the best rivalry in the league was?
Shaq and Kobe.
Shaq and Kobe. Their rivalry versus each other, they were trying to show up. They played better because they were trying to show up each other. Kobe would go down and be like, all right, I'll cross somebody over. Fade away. Shaq's like, dunk.
They wouldn't
even pass to each other. The only way that would happen is they would have to pass to someone else, and then that person would pass to the third.
Yeah.
That's why he created the triangle.
Triangle offense.
Because Kobe wouldn't pass it to Shaq, or vice versa.
Yeah, no. I was watching Shaq highlights the other day, because I don't know why, but I was. And... like, this dude has broken, like, 15 backboards.
I mean, he's the reason they reinforce backboards. He's the reason they keep 3 spare ones in their arena.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have the Shaq rule, the Shaq strategy.
The Hacker Shaq.
The Hacker Shaq. I mean, he's named in everything.
He redefined the game of basketball.
He did redefine the game. But, you know, it's funny. Since that generation... it's really gone to a smaller league. You know, and the Clippers are almost in between of that. They have the big, strong, fast, big guys.
Yeah, real quick before we get away from Shaq, though, I got to tell you about – so have you seen him lately on the halftime show?
I think him and Charles Barkley is – I mean, I if I had a network, I would give them a reality show quicker –
than anybody else.
That with those two get together on television, it's pure gold. You've never seen two people who hate each other more than they put closer together.
Oh, it's great. The thing is, did you see Shaq fall the other day?
No, Shaq, I didn't.
Okay, so there's like they always reenact something that doesn't really make sense in the halftime show, and they all have laptops that, you know, because every single host on TV has a laptop. They just sit there next to them so they can look something up if they have to.
Right.
Well, I guess Shaq's cord got tied around his chair or his foot or something because he goes to stand up and just eats it.
Oh,
right on live TV.
That is amazing.
he gets up, he turns to Kenny Smith. He's like, Kenny, you set me up.
Kenny, you set me up. They do mess with him, though. It really reminds me. Have you ever seen the Kenny Rogers show?
No.
Eastbound and Down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
when they're on the radio show, when he does the radio show.
Yeah.
It just reminds me so much of Shaq and the things they set up.
Well, listen, so he's on there last night at the halftime show. And he comes out wearing all bubble wrap. He's wrapped in head to toe in bubble wrap at the halftime show, yelling at Charles Barkley, telling him that he's soft. And Charles goes, well, how can you tell me I'm soft when you're sitting there wrapped in bubble wrap? Why are you getting all butt hurt that you shoot less than 60% career free throw percentage?
That's just stinger.
Shaq just starts freaking out and turns into, like, the Incredible Hulk and just starts telling everybody, like, that they suck, they're not that great of a player. And, you know, he goes, well, how come everybody's always like, well, you just made your free throws then, you won a game. And I want to say to all the great shooters, if you just want to hit all your jump shots, we want to win the game.
I'm telling you, that's something that is in his psyche, and he'll never let it go. But I don't want to digress in too much in the Shaquille O'Neal, but I want to go back, because one series that has surprised me so, and I think it surprised a lot of people, is this Warriors-Grizzlies series. And I'd like to break down this series and really show you where the Warriors have messed up and have really haven't been playing up to their level, and they're really been put to the limit by this Grizzlies team. I mean, you see Allen has been a great defender. He's been in Thompson's face, and he's had a lot of turnovers between Curry and Thompson. He's really reading well what's going on. But if you look at it, I'm going to go game by game. Game one, you know, everything's rolling. They're at home. They're coming off a hot series, sweeping the Pelicans. And you see 48% shooting from Curry and Thompson. They score 40 points. And, you know, the rest of the team comes in with another 45% shooting for 61 points. So that's plenty. You know, I mean, they score over 100 points.
The thing is like, the Grizzlies are a team that's built for the playoffs now.
They are. And
they
it's
have
really
two
great
bigs
matchup.
They have two bigs and a first-team all-defense guard.
And what I mind you is, with the game one here, Conley was not playing this first game. He was still injured. He didn't come back till game two. And now you see game two, they come back, and the Grizzlies win 97-90. Now, mind you, the importance of this game, this loss for the Golden State Warriors, it is their first home loss in a couple months. It is clearly their first time losing all year when letting up less than 100 points.
The Warriors, right?
Yes, the Warriors.
Oh, yeah, I forget exactly what their home record was.
It was like 34 and 2.
They played 41 games.
41
I think
games.
It was like 38 and 4.
Yeah, 38 and 4 or something like that. But they haven't 39 lost
39 and 3, I think it was.
Right, but they hadn't lost a game in like 3 months. So that was a big loss there. And for them not to score 100 points is very rare for them. But if you look at this game, and really what it came down to is now, you know, you get 58 points out of the rest of your team, you know, excluding Curry and Thompson, because I really think that's really what it breaks down to. The stars have to score, and they shot. Curry and Thompson put up 44 shots, only scored 32 points, and only hit 13 of 44. That's only 30% from the field. I mean, that's completely deplorable for your two star players. And for you to only lose by 7, you know what I mean? That really is what boiled down to that game loss. And what's that coming down to was Conley coming back and playing great defense on Curry, and Allen coming up as an NBA all-defensive player, shutting down Klay Thompson, one of the more gifted players at the shooting guard position. So if their struggles continue through the series, now they came back a little bit. Game three, it was a close game. It was only a 4 or 6 point game at some point in the fourth quarter before the Grizzlies pulled away. But it really where it boiled down to, I mean, you see 16 of 34 from Curry and Thompson. They score 43 points and shoot 48%. But now, see, their support guys did not show up for game three. And now, you usually see in an NBA series, the bench players don't show up on the road. It's hard for them. They're not that good. They have, you know what I mean, average abilities, and they're good on certain nights. And usually on the road in the playoffs is where you see them struggle. And you see in this game three, Green, Bogut, and Andre Iguodala combined for 4 of 19 shooting for 28%. You know, so when you see that you get two players who score 43 points and you only score 89, that's a bad game.
I mean, it's terrible, but
the whole rest of their team only scored 46.
Listen, the playoff basketball is won by defense and bigs. The regular season is won by jump shooters and guys that will stretch the floor, foul shooters and everything. The James Hardens of the world sell in the playoffs. That's why when you have Zebo, Marc Gasol, you know, down low, the same thing with the Clippers, you have DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin,
right,
when you have that duo of bigs,
they match up better for the playoffs. You're completely correct.
I hope those two run into each other. I hope
Grizzlies, Clippers?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
The thing is, the Grizzlies have the Clippers number.
All right, so who's your pick? Now, they play tomorrow. Or do they play tonight?
Who? I believe they play tonight.
I think they play tonight.
9 o'clock, maybe?
So what's your pick in this game tonight? 2-1 Grizzlies. It's in Memphis. So who do you like? Oh, my God, he's showing me the Shaquille O'Neal fall, and it is quite. Oh my God!
But tell me that's not hilarious.
Stop, beached whale. But don't let me get off point here, because I want
to
ask you this question. Seems like you're shying from it. Seems like you're shying.
I have the.
Who's your pick for tonight?
Who's home? Where's the game at?
It's in Memphis. Can Memphis win three games in a row? Now, mind you, Golden State, this could be the third thing that happens to Golden State that hasn't happened all year. Golden State has not lost three games in a row all year.
Yeah, I think the Grizzlies win it.
And to me, really do. I think, now usually teams, you say game three is the swing game and yada, yada, yada. To me, this game is the swing game. Because right now, if Golden State wins tonight, then they're set up to win the series, because then they go home with momentum, and then even if they lose in Memphis in game six, they still get to come home game seven at home. And that arena is going to be rocking. And I'm sorry, if it goes to game seven in Golden State, give me Golden State in that game all day. So really, to me, what it comes down to,
I think that the Warriors will win the series. Even if they go down 3-1, I don't think that matters.
Yeah, they had the firepower. And two of those three games at home.
I mean, what were you telling me on the walk-in here? Off of like 44 shots, they scored 32 points.
In game two.
Yeah. And now this is two games in a row.
Well, no, game three they came back, but it was the bench players who didn't show up.
Yeah, but still, if you're the MVP of the league and you're arguably one of...
You got to score more than 20 points a game.
Yeah.
So, Curry's really been.
I guess all that time sitting on the bench in the fourth quarter.
But I'll tell you this: the Grizzlies are a more playoff tested team. The Grizzlies,
and let me tell you this,
are built better for the playoffs, like you said.
If the Grizzlies beat the Warriors, which I don't think they will, for the whole series, I'm saying.
Right.
They will also beat the Clippers. The Grizzlies will beat the Clippers.
I think they will too. I remember that they beat them before.
They have the Clippers' number.
Because their big beat the Clippers' big.
Did you know that the Clippers have never made it to the Western Conference Finals?
No, they haven't. You're right. You're right. They had some good teams, but over the last few years, they have not been able to get over the hump. So this
I guess trading for the coach's kid is what gets you over it?
I think Doc Rivers is what gets you over it. I think give Doc Rivers 2 years and he'll build it with high-level talent. I would hope that Doc Rivers comes here in 2-3 years. That would be my hope and dream. Sounds like he's ready to move around.
And we got Shaq and bubble wrap for you.
You should post that on our Twitter page or something.
I did yesterday. You can go find it on there. I'll do it again.
Gateway Radio. Always be able to check out our Facebook and Twitter pages. And also check out WizardRadio.com.
Like, look at this picture. Right here. How are you supposed to take someone seriously calling you soft when he looks like that?
I think that's the point. I think they make him do stuff like that. They're like, Shaq, we'll give you $100,000 and we'll wrap you up in bubble wrap. You know, I would be hard-pressed to turn down $100,000 if you wrap
him up. I'm pretty sure he might have just done this himself.
He might have done it himself. He's a weird dude. I mean, you're talking about a man who in all seasons of basketball season was a security guard.
And a police officer.
I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, could you imagine if Shaq pulled me over? I'd just drive away. I'd be like, no, this is a TV show. I don't care. You're in the NBA.
I think it was Cat Williams.
It's definitely in your contract that you can't chase me.
Oh yeah, I think it was Cat Williams though. In one of his stand-ups, was joking about Shaq pulling him over, and he was like, "I'm only giving you my license and registration if you can hit this free throw."
Oh my god, yeah, he did have the bit like that. That is really good though. You know what? I think now we're trying to start a new segment here, and we're gonna try it out here tonight. And now basically it's called knee-jerk reaction. It's where Justin is going to test the fact that I don't care about anything to look most things up other than, you know, football and the stats themselves. He's going to throw 4 or 5 questions at me from each sport, and I'm just going to give...
Now, real quick,
Real
quick, I have a whole bunch. Do you only want sports, or do you just want me to, like, find anything in the news?
You know, for the first one, let's do a couple sports, and then we'll do a couple just out there.
Okay. Chase Utley is batting under 100 for the season.
Oh, my God.
He got hit by a pitch
the
other day.
That's the only reason he's going to
base. And he then proceeds to shove the trainer away from him at first base. All caught on national TV.
The beginning of the end for this. I mean.
Is he cooked? The thing
cooked.
Is.
I mean, his two knees are jello. His knees are jello.
Listen, this is the major problem that we have. Ryan Sandberg still puts him out there every day.
Utley.
So listen, the problem is, if he gets 500 plate appearances this year, his contract for next year becomes guaranteed. If it's under 500, it's a team option.
Does it matter how much money this team puts out over the next 4 years?
It doesn't matter. They suck.
The Phillies stink. Chase Utley stinks. You might as well keep him here so you can look at him and laugh at him for another year or so. I mean, how bad is it that Ryan Howard is playing better than you? I mean, that's terrible. And the Phillies as a whole are really just... whole organization needs to just get washed down the toilet.
The best thing that happened over the weekend for the Phillies is that guy caught the one-handed baseball with his kid strapped to his...
I was about to say, a fan.
Yeah.
The best thing was, there was actually a fan at the stadium.
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, I they had him call in on the radio today, too, when I was listening to Angelo this morning.
That's how bad it is. I'd rather have that dude on the show than the Phillies player, who's not going to be here any year. He stinks anyway. All right, let's move on to another question.
All right, well, the iPad is now frozen. It has my list on it, so hold on 1 second. I get this to work.
All right, I'm going to make up a question for myself. My rating of Apple products, 4. I'm very upset with them right now.
Yeah, but I mean, come up with someone that has an iPhone.
Correct. Like all the other iPhones, I guess. They have the technology. I've seen plexiglass technology.
I'm just going to restart this real quick.
Since I was 3 years old. Okay?
Yeah.
Even when I was a kid, if you would know, you'd see, oh, let's throw a rock through this window and there's a band-aid.
All right, here we go.
And then it would hit it and it wouldn't break. It'd be like, this is plexiglass. How can they not make a cell phone screen that with similar technology?
I agree. We're going to go now. It's
all right,
rolling.
Let's go.
Aaron Hernandez charged for witness intimidation for the shooting of a witness back in 2013.
Is this another? This is the second thing now.
Yes. This is a separate thing.
But doesn't he already have life? He's going to get the death penalty by the end.
Well, I believe he has two other charges left to go.
There was like 8 murders, I thought.
I think it was 3 murders and 1 attempted murder.
So it really didn't matter.
No.
Yeah, they just let it go now. Like, you really got to drag him through this? He's going to lose all his commissary money and legal fees.
Yeah. Here's let me know when you're ready for the next one.
Let's go.
The U.S. Department of Defense actually pays the NFL to honor the military. Normally, they wouldn't do it and do the national anthem and all that stuff. The only reason they do it is because the U.S. government pays them. This whole big story came out today.
This goes back to, I guess, an American principle as old as any. If you're good at something, get paid for it. And there's really nothing that fits the military as good as football. Let's face it. Big, tall, strong men who work together. I mean, that's, who hit each other hard. You know what I mean? Football and military, they probably get over the stadium. It's a real great draw. It's a $9 billion a year industry. You're not just going to get free ad time. It doesn't work like that.
Definitely.
But doesn't NFL, like, not even get taxed?
They just switched that literally this year. Like, a week ago, they changed it. They gave up their tax-exempt clause. That way, they don't have to give out Roger Goodell's salary anymore. He made $35 million last year.
So now they don't have to pay him?
No, they still have to pay him. They don't have to make it public what he gets. Because they have to make all the...
Everything has to be public because the NFL has to be broke at the end of the year.
Yeah. So, they have
so
to show,
basically, all the owners themselves,
all their
everybody
salaries
who gets paid,
are public.
Gets taxed.
Yeah, but the NFL, not the league office.
Because then they run it as double taxation. So, like, a company will only get taxed for the money left over in the company budget, in a sense.
Yeah, but for them, now that, like, you know how irate people are that Roger Goodell gets $35 million? The players are furious.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy if you think about it. He makes more than any players ever. They really need to raise the salary cap.
It goes up a little, couple million every year.
Yeah, but they make a couple more million every year. It's moving up as far as, like, inflation moves for any job. You're supposed to get a raise a little bit every year. And things get more expensive, and it's all about a standard of living that you're trying to achieve and stay at. That's what pay raises are supposed to be for. But when you have an owner making, $300 million each in profit, and your salary cap's only 130 total, there's a little something wrong with that. I think the players, and they're the ones who have to stand up. It's so funny. Like, let me ask you this question, Justin. How much would the game hurt if every starting player right now left the league?
What, like in the NFL? Starting player?
If every starting player now, all the guys who want to make, more money, let's say, and they went on strike, how many guys would be there to take their place, and how big an impact do you think the league would take?
There would be no shortage of players to step in, though.
Right.
The quality would probably diminish. I don't think it would be as big of a drop as you think it.
You still got
be.
The best coaches. There's still so many athletes out there, and really,
I look at it like
love
this.
Football.
I look at it like this: the players that you would think aren't good are going to look great because you're not playing against the regular starters.
Right, and you're probably going to have better guys who were, the guys who quite couldn't make the cut weren't big enough and fast enough in college. I mean, how many of them are going to come out of the woodwork? Because they just want to play to love the game. I mean, that's what they're trying to turn it into. So I think, as much as you want to say the players have leverage, I don't think they have any.
They have none whatsoever because the NFL will go on. The NFL went on before you.
Right.
It will go on during you. And it will go on after you. The NFL it wouldn't matter. Because, like I said, if you have, a grade 6 or a grade 7 receiver, they're third string, maybe fourth string if your team is really deep at wide receiver. But he's playing against starting caliber players, which would be 8 and above. Well, if there's a strike and all the players walk out, well, the entire quality of the league goes down. So this player,
right,
is going to be playing better. So
exactly.
You're still
they've been productive in college as well. It'd be like going back to the college game. I mean,
you'll still have
only,
somebody that
one-tenth of the players from college get drafted?
Yeah. You'll still have guys go off for 1,500 receiving yards.
You might even see more of it.
Yeah. Because the overall
And I
level,
want to bring up one thing about this, a developing story that's been going on for the last few weeks. I bet none of you will know this guy's name. But he's been a high-caliber offensive lineman.
Whitworth. Albert Whitworth?
Right. Now, he came out a few weeks ago, right after the draft, saying that this is – now, mind you, he's on a contract year. He's a guy who's done everything right for 10 years, no injuries, or very few. But basically came out and said, after all this, all I've done for this team in this city, and offensive lineman, he's probably never made a statement to the media before in his life. So after all this and all that, now I have to fight and claw for my spot on a contract year, this late. I mean, he's a veteran. And it really goes to show you that these guys, once they get, they don't ever get to relax. And, I mean, you know, you usually think of offensive linemen 8-10 years in. They probably don't need much of OTAs and training camp. You know, that's probably more wear and tear on their body than good. So now he's got to come in after 10 years and fight against two or three rookies and all this depth. And the team's just this close to just cutting them and being done with them. You know what I mean? After 10 years of solid work. And now he'll go to another team and then he'll have to fight and claw there. And it's a great point I think he made. Now, he came back today because he's got to save face. You know, you can't just go around making comments like that against your team in this day and age. I mean, it almost shows that anytime the players act up, the media hypes it up. It almost seems like to make the NFL look good, it almost separates the players from the NFL.
Absolutely. Ready for the next one?
Let's go.
All right. These are now going to be some non-sports related ones.
Okay.
All right. So did you hear about that cargo ship that came in to Philadelphia today from Africa?
Oh, God. No.
It came over with a bunch of cocoa beans. Like, it was a whole shipment of cocoa beans.
Right.
It found a dead body laying in the cocoa beans.
Dead body?
A dead body.
Do you think he tried to make it here from Africa and just died?
Well, I have no idea. The point is for me to ask you.
Oh, my God. How did dead body get in there?
He was in there all the way from Africa. Non-stop from I don't know what country in Africa it was.
Did they still use the beans? That wasn't in the story, was it?
I'll check my sources.
We're going to have to check that and come back with that on Thursday. This is more than one. They are going to say, no, we didn't use that. They're probably like, whatever
one. We didn't use the ones we're touching him. We're touching him.
Know how these corporations are. I mean, if everybody knows, I mean, I don't want to turn this into like the health show, but there's an acceptable amount of rat poison and rat poop that's allowed in our food from all these companies and warehouses and things like that.
Now,
It's a low percent. No. There's an acceptable amount.
Is it inappropriate for me to say that this dude has redefined the term death by chocolate?
Only because you don't know.
Okay.
If he was a celebrity, it wouldn't have been good.
Yeah, but
because it's just some... I guess hopefully we don't get... Because it's some dead guy in chocolate.
Yeah. Cocoa beans, actually. Cocoa not beans. Chocolate. Yeah.
All I want to know is if he was murdered and put there, or if he decided to try to take a ride on a cargo ship for fucking 6 days.
Well, how long is it for...
It has to be. It has to be 5 days. It has to be longer than you can last without food and water, is what I'm saying. I could see someone who works at the factory trying to be like, I get to it, America. You know what I mean? Whatever their accent is there, I don't really care enough to pick one. But I could see him trying to come across and not planning the fact that he needs food and water for 6 days.
And yeah.
The cargo ship is not ventilated because it's chocolate and not people.
That's a very good point. So how much would you pay to have a Picasso painting in your house?
I would pay enough to get it printed out from Costco's or wherever I could get a printout of it and put that painting in my house instead of painting. Well, let me hear what the price of this painting went for.
$179,365,000. It's the highest single piece of artwork ever sold. Like, the highest price.
I want to steal that. Can we steal that? Like, I know I'm on a radio show, and I probably shouldn't, like, tell what crime I want to commit, but $180 million painting, I mean, I'm on board. If anybody has any idea how to do
that.
Well,
listen to this. Ready? The guy that sold it bought it in 1997 for $32 million.
That's an investment.
Okay. 18 years and... You gained 140 plus million.
That's funny. I'll do that. Give me like 1 million.
That's crazy.
Who has enough money? How ignorant a person can you be to spend almost $200 million on a piece of paper with ink on it? I mean, I understand art, and I understand like there's a value to it, but I mean, you could feed a small country or buy this painting. And the guy was like, nah, I want the painting. I always thought it was funny. Like, you see these charity benefits, and they, you know, they'll be like $1,000 a plate or whatever.
I'm trying to find if they have it listed, but I'm sure they don't have somebody's name that has much money listed.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But like, if you think about all these charity benefits that these rich people go to, I mean, the amount of money that they spend on their outfits and jewelry is 10 times, 20 to 100 times more than what they just gave in charity to this place. That they're all trying to, you know, give themselves a big round of applause for helping people for so they don't get taxed. But let's not digress from sports too much. This has been
off the walls
Wizbit Radio.
I have one
and
more for
if
you.
If you want to call in,
that number is 347-857-4467. Check us out on the app, MixLR. Just check us out. Look for Wizbit Radio. Check us out on wizbitradio.com. It plays there. Call in.
I'll answer about any crazy question you want to ask.
Oh, I got one more for you, but it's Eagles related.
Oh, that's what I'd like to hear.
Acho, your man, Emmanuel Acho.
Acho.
Went to a senior prom this weekend.
That's awesome.
He did one of those things, you know, somebody reaches out, well, how about this? My man knows how to play piano, jumps on the piano and starts rocking out.
At the prom?
At the prom.
See, that's called multi-talented. And, you know, I hope he makes the team this year. And I think that's a perfect segue to get into some Eagles talk. I've been waiting, and we'll jump around in the back to some other topics, but I want to spend a nice bit of time on the Eagles because I think it's a great time to talk. The rookie minicamp, first weekend, over. Got all the guys in there. Everybody gave a statement. And the general consensus, what I've heard and what I'd like to hear is that everybody's on the same page. All these rookies come in, and they said all the right things. I don't want to. You know, I have the mentality that I'm going to come in today, see what I can do today. They all have high expectations for themselves, and they all have the size and speed to be effective in this league. So I'm excited for this new crop of young players, and I'm excited to see what Chip Kelly is going to be able to put forward. And there was actually a really interesting article today, and I'm going to ask Justin some of the questions that went in it. An interesting article, like, what's going to happen with this Philadelphia Eagles schematically going forward?
Well,
far as the offense and defense, I wonder how much you're going to see a change from Bill Davis and Chip Kelly.
Here's what it's going to come down to on offense. You're not going to see very many spread out wide sets. Now, you didn't really see that last year, or really at all under Chip Kelly, but it's even going to diminish now, especially with Jackson and Macklin both gone, and even to a lesser extent, Jason Avant not being here after a second year now, too.
Right.
So you're going to see less spread out. Zach Ertz is going to have to come in and really define himself almost as a...
He needs to be a better block.
He does. But I'm
get
saying,
on the field.
But I'm saying he needs to express himself almost as a tight end / wide receiver at this point in
time.
Well,
that's really what he is. And he was the third wide receiver last year in catches and yards. With only playing 40-some percent of the snaps.
Right. And
he just needs to get on the field more.
Yeah, so you're looking at your top two wideouts, Aguilar and Jordan Matthews. You can pencil them in for two solid seasons, I think.
Okay.
Barring any injury, there's no reason that neither one of them have a fairly solid season.
Right.
You have Ertz, who needs to... Like, I thought he was going to step up last year. Don't get me wrong. He had a decent sophomore year. We really need something right now.
But I'll say, like, once again, for the 40% of the snaps, for the time he was on the field, he was productive.
He was. Like,
he just got a block.
He had that one game where
he had a sixth offensive lineman in Brent Celek. It's hard for him to get
on the field. Yeah, I understand.
On the field enough.
I mean, and he had that game where he had, like, 15 catches for, like, 140-some-odd yards. It's not like he didn't do anything.
Broke the franchise record.
Yeah, I just want to see more out of him. Like, I don't want to see him plateau this early.
No, I don't think you're seeing plateau from him for a few years.
I hope not. Now, you're going to see more multi-back sets, I'm hoping.
I think you're going to see more Sproles running around. One of the great points I read today was that with the depth you're going to see at running back, you're probably going to keep four running backs. With the depth you're going to see at running back,
I don't know if there's
Darren,
be four.
Darren Sproles.
Because on game day, you can only dress 46. So if you... of really putting yourself into a tight position.
I think you're going to see another hybrid
because
wide receiver.
If you look at it like this, there's 22 players that start.
Right.
If they all have one backup, that's 44, and then you only have two more wiggle room roster spots.
Let's put it this way. I mean, I looked through the roster last week, and
What it basically came down to is the same what they did last year. They hadn't started seven players from the running back tight end position. Now this year you're going to have Ryan Matthews, DeMarco Murray, and Darren Sproles as your running backs, and your tight ends are going to be Brent Celek, Zach Ertz, and Trey Harbour. So you have one spot available there. Now, whether they go tight end or running back,
let me pull up a list real quick. Let me get a piece of paper. I got a piece of paper I can use real quick.
Oh, here, I'll give you.
Yeah, any old piece of paper. It doesn't matter if there's anything on it or not. I want to keep a running list. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Whatever. All right, so we're going to keep a running list. We're going to create what we think will be the normal 46 man game day roster. So we're going to go on offense. You know, we'll assume that they're going to use the same amount of players on offense and defense. So we're going to put one spot for the kicker, one spot for the punter. All right, so let's go. We have Bradford, and let's assume Sanchez will be the two quarterbacks that they bring on. And you're probably not going to carry a third quarterback for the game day.
No, yeah, so we'll go for the 46. So you're going to see Bradford and Sanchez. And then, like I said,
let's go knock the linemen out first. Because you're going to bring 10 linemen. You're going to bring your five.
Right. The five starters and five backups. They're going to start 10 linemen. I don't know if 10 linemen will start game day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
probably about 8.
Nah, you usually want to bring. You want to bring 10, just in case somebody gets hurt. You don't have to worry, because if you only bring 8 and say 2 go down, you only have one guy left.
Yeah, that's true. Probably 9, yeah. I would say.
Chip usually likes to bring one guy for every lineman.
Okay, so he usually does bring 10.
He'll do the same thing for defense.
I'll go with
10. He'll bring one defensive lineman for everybody.
Okay.
So we'll go with 10 offensive linemen. You got, let's see.
You got Murray, Matthews, and Sproles. As of right now. And then at tight end, Celek, Ertz, and Harbour. So you're going to need, last year, they had these.
I don't want to put Harbour on there yet.
Oh, he's making the team.
Well, no, this isn't making the team. There's 53 guys that make the team, but he only dressed 46.
He dressed almost every game last year. He's a special team guy.
I'm saying I want to wait and see.
I'm just saying. I'm going to go with last year. With the drop of Casey, I think that was a play for Trey Harbour. You know what I mean?
Right now we have 19 guys.
Right, but I'm saying they started 7 players from the running back tight end spot last year. So you have these 6 guys now. There's going to be another guy here. You know what I mean? So you had 7 there. So like I said, I think they're going to probably go another running back because, like Chip Kelly said, he wanted to utilize Sproles more last year to move him around.
Well,
but
so let's just keep going down wide receiver. Right. Let's just keep naming these guys on the roster. We have Aguilar, Matthews, Huff as your 3 wide receivers. Who do you think will be the 4th?
Miles Austin and Cooper. They're both going to make the roster. You didn't sign Miles Austin.
It doesn't matter if you make the roster.
No, because you're going to keep 6 receivers on game day. I mean, maybe 5, but you're going
to
keep...
Last year, Chip carried 4 to 5.
They're going to keep at least 5, but I think this year they're deeper, and you have young guys. You know what I mean? I don't think you signed... I don't think you signed... I'm not going to try to say his name. They call him T, the wide receiver, the special teams wide receiver ace from San Diego. I don't think you signed him for him not to make the roster and be a special teams guy.
All right, well, we have 22 spots left for the defensive side. We have 24 game day roster spots.
Okay, so now let's start with the DN spot on defense.
You got Fletcher Cox.
Fletcher Cox, Thornton, Curry. Maybe one more player, I'd say. You're probably going to keep 4 DN.
I agree with you. They'll probably, I don't know who, but they'll probably
have 4. Yeah, I don't know who. Let's go right now for the sake of argument. I like the guy Taylor Hart. I think it was another year to grow. He was coming off his rookie year. I think he's going to see time. He's bulked up like 15 pounds in the offseason, and he looks a lot stronger and better coming in. Then we'll go to D-tackle. This is the really
go linebacker. We'll go D-tackle last. Because we all know that the D tackles here are going to break.
Right, okay.
There's no linebacker.
And you want to go outside linebacker?
No matter.
I'll go outside linebacker first. So you got Barwin and Graham. They're the only two solid guys you know. Now, you figure Marcus Smith is going to be on this list. He has to be. He's your first-round pick. You got to put him on. After that, I mean, you have Travis Long. And to be honest, he's coming off two ACL injuries. So you don't know what you're going to get out of him. Now, that's why I think it's good to put these guys together, because when you go to the inside linebacker spot, as much depth they lack at outside linebacker, they make up for it leaps and bounds.
Yeah, they got D'Amico Ryan.
And like we said, actually, you know who you can put down an outside linebacker? Remember, I looked it up. Our new draft pick.
Jordan Hicks.
He was actually listed on the official NFL website as an outside linebacker. So it goes to show you, young in his career, he might be able to do some pass rushing and do some things on special teams.
And to round out the linebacking core, they got Kiko Alonso, Michael Kendricks, and D'Amico Ryans.
Great. And now, then you have a battle here for these next three guys, because one of them are going to be on the roster. Brad Jones, our boy, Acho, and Najee Goody, who, before he got injured last year, was supposed to be a promising depth prospect for the Eagles. So, I mean, how many of these guys make the 53-man roster, you don't know. But you figure, I would say, out of the outside and inside linebackers, you're going to keep probably eight players.
I only see seven.
Or seven. We'll go with seven.
I see seven.
Yeah, you probably keep four inside linebackers and three outside linebackers, with your inside linebackers being able to. But this is the point. I think they want to go depth at this position. And like I said, this is when you're going to see a guy like Brad Jones step up and take a special team spot.
So let's go to secondary.
The secondary is deep. How many spots is left?
Got 11 left.
You got 11 left. Okay, so that actually fits out about perfect. So before we do that, because I think the secondary and what they're going to keep is going to be the biggest key, let's just take the other two spots for the D-tackle out, because it's going to be
They're going to carry three D-tackles.
No, they're not. I'm telling you, I just don't think there's room for it on the team. They're only going to keep Beanie Logan and Blaine Allen. That other guy was on the practice squad last year, and I think he's going to go back this year, unless he beats Blaine Allen, because they have to keep nine cornerbacks.
Nine
D-backs in general. Safety, cornerback.
I see seven.
There's going to be 10 on the roster.
I see seven on the game day roster.
I mean, you got to remember, they brought in a guy like, what's his name? I'm sorry. E.J. Biggers. You know what I mean? To play special teams, to fight with Margos and Prosnowski, who may or may not make this roster. You have two sixth-round picks in Shepard and Evans, who, you know, usually rookies make the roster, or they're at least going to be, I don't know if they make the game day roster. But then, I mean, you start from the top. We'll start Maxwell.
Yeah, but
Eric, we'll start from the top.
But yeah, well, here's what I got. Jenkins, right. Maxwell, Boykin, Rowe, Thurman, Wolf.
That's your seven?
No, that's six. I haven't figured out who I think the other guys are going to be.
But you see, this is what I'm telling you, that they're going to keep more than that. Then
you got to give up some players on offense then.
No.
But we're over 46 then.
How are you?
We got 24 on offense. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 15. We got 21 on defense, and we only have 22 spots.
So we only have one spot left.
We have one spot left, and we only have six DBs, and you're telling me you're going to take nine.
I guess you're only going to keep seven then. That's all you can keep.
I mean,
Did you have three D tackles, or did you only keep two?
Right.
I'm telling you, they're not going to. That's the spot.
They're going to have to.
They didn't keep three D tackles all last year.
Yes, they did.
Who? Who was the third guy?
First off, Vinny Curry played a lot of DT.
Yeah, but he's included in this DN group. Like I'm saying, from the DN D tackle group, you're going to keep six guys.
No, you're going to keep seven.
There's only three spots. Three spots and three backups.
No, they're going to keep seven. I'm telling you, they're going to keep seven.
I just don't see it. I just don't see the depth there. I just don't see. This is a team who's going to need the secondary help.
This is a team who's going to need.
Is it Jalen Watkins that you keep?
It's going to be. Jalen.
Or is it one of the two guys that they drafted this year in the sixth round?
That's what I'm saying. So
is
these,
it
all these guys
is that
are
guy,
make the
what's
roster.
Say, what's his name?
EJ Biggers?
No. Reynolds. The safety from Stanford.
Great. He's another guy. So when I say. So
you got to remember, not these guys, just because they don't meet this 46-man list doesn't mean they're not on the team.
But what I'm telling you is you're missing two players, and I don't know if they. I mean, they're two special team aces in Margos and Prosnowski.
That's what I'm saying. Like, where but there's
where
no,
do they fit in?
Where on this roster do you budge them? Unless you're taking off Cooper or Austin and only going with four receivers. That
They might go with four receivers, or they might only keep three running backs in. I'm telling you, I think they keep left linemen.
But you wanted to bring on a fourth running back. They keep.
Did you not add the seventh player here?
For what? For DB?
No, for running back, tight end.
I have Murray, Sproles, Matthews, Selleck, Ertz.
You only have five.
Yeah, I didn't even put Harbor in it because we didn't have room for him.
I'm telling you, I think you have too many linemen. I don't think.
No, he's going to carry 10. I'm telling you, he's going to carry 10.
I don't know. We're going to have to see. You know, these are all the kind of questions. You know, this is the GMs are throwing around, and they got to find out a way to make this roster have depth on all sides. My point is, I think what Chip Kelly, the reason I'm trying to say 8 or 9 or even 10 D-backs is because, like I said, you have, I think, only two solid number one starters, Maxwell and Jenkins. You have a rookie in Eric Rowe who could do a little bit of both, cornerback and safety. Jalen,
he will start at one of those two positions.
Right. But see, I don't think it's that simple. I don't think that's going to be, you know what I mean? I think the only guys.
Well, let's be honest. At this point in time in the NFL, you play with five DBs in the field at all times.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So you're set with Boykin,
five.
Jenkins, Maxwell.
But
Rowe.
I don't know if it's going to be Boykin.
He'll be the third spot.
I don't know if he's going to be here. I think he's the best nickel corner in the league.
Where would he go?
At this point in time, you're not trading anybody.
When
you look at all the guys they got, and when you look at the depth they have at even nickel cornerback and outside cornerback, they're going to play with a lot of depth, and they're going to when you see guys having so many snaps against them over the last 2 years, you got to know that they're going to try to have more depth at that position. It's not going to be as simple as these four guys are starting. They're going to run. Everybody's going to have a backup, and they're going to have a lot of guys who jump in and play. But we're going to end a little early tonight. We have what?
We got about a minute and a half left.
Okay.
Or so, roughly, until we get out of here. So we're going to wrap it. 90 seconds, so show is over. So we thank everybody for tuning in and listening. Chatting us up on the message board.
Do our outro now so we can get a little Eagles in right before the end. Thanks as always. We got another show coming Thursday.
Definitely will be back.
Your host here, Michael Irano and Justin Emery. Always keeping it real with Wizard Radio, giving you the truth.
Definitely.
Eating your true sports hunger.
Check it out on our website, wizardradio.com. We're here in the Red Sound Studio as always. Ben's not here tonight, but like you said at the top of the show, Zach's here holding it down. Accidentally scared the hell out of him when I went in there, but it's all right.
But yeah, I think that you're going to see that they're going to play multiple guys at safety, multiple guys at cornerback. They're going to really cycle around this secondary and this linebacking core and this even front three with Cox, Logan, Allen, Curry, and all those guys. You're going to see them be a lot more flexible this year, and that's really what I'm looking forward to over these next few weeks as the rookies meet with the veterans. So it's going to be a fun month or so before we get a little deprived there in June before training camp kicks on.
Training camp is going to be great. I'm really excited for it. Talk a lot of competition.
Competition is the key word. And once again, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and listening. Check us out on Wizard Radio. We'll be back on Thursday night.
Go Warriors. Tonight, 9:30.
What time it is?